And we're very privileged to have Mike bring the message tonight. What message? I'm not sure what we're getting.
They're all
right.
Talking about the Miami U. There was a
No, I'm not going to preach Miami tonight. I'm definitely live. Before we start, I want to say how incredibly blessed I am to be in front of you guys right now, looking out amongst my church family. My path has been this long, winding thing that has taken me from growing up here to the Army to not knowing what I was going to do post-retirement to now in seminary. So I just feel extremely blessed, and I thank you for that, for all the encouragement that I've gotten from you guys. Having said that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we get to spend together. We thank you for your word. May, as we examine your word tonight, may we learn from it. May we live by it. May you soften our hearts to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we listen as we read your word, and that through it we are able to growing in the image of Christ. I thank you for everything that you bless me with. And in your son's holy name I pray. Amen. All right, so tonight what we're going to do, or what we're going to try to accomplish, is three different things. And then if we have time, we'll do a little practical application. But one, we're going to look into the Greek word peripateo. Hold on just a second, as long as I can get this to work. There we go. All right, so this word peripateo is walk. You might have heard it before. It can generally refer to locomotion from one place to another. So we're going to look at that. We're going to establish why this is important to us, what we can learn from this word when we come across it in Scripture. And then finally, what application can we derive, like how can we apply it to our lives? Or, as Pastor Caleb likes to do, well, I'm going to put it in alliterative terms, we're going to look at the word, we're going to learn what the word has for us, and then we're going to live by the word. All right, so first off, I want to confess, this is simply an introduction to a larger project, a larger teaching series that I've been working on to teach the teens over in the youth group on Wednesday nights. And as such, there's no way that we can examine each passage, right, fully. So as we go through this, I apologize if you end up feeling like I set you up for this wonderful journey through God's word and then kind of like it fell flat. It wasn't my intention to do that. What I intend to do is to go through the tools that we are going to use as we look at each passage. And that way, on your own, in your own Bible time, in your own devotional time, you can search for these different examples in Scripture of how we are supposed to walk, how we are supposed to live, and use them to in your own walk. Before we begin, right? All right, before I start anything, I like to know, like, why. Like in the Army, we would call it, I need purpose, I need direction, and then I need like motivation. I need a reason, right? Right. So this is our purpose, right? And why we're going to do something is it's better said not just from me and my viewpoint, I keep on going backwards. But different people. All right. So first, you can see the first one here is F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer says the daily walk of the Christian soul is so absolutely important because it is our witness to the world. Think about that for a second. Our witness, the way we walk, right, witnesses to everybody that sees us walk. Right? It is the living sacrifice, the living testimony that Scripture mentions. Right? Second, a couple quotes from Spurgeon. In my devotional time, I was telling Pastor Caleb that I've been doing my devotional and then watching or listening to a Spurgeon sermon every single morning for like the past month and a half. And just to try to get used to listening how a sermon should progress, how it should build. They're all on YouTube. If you didn't know, you can go to YouTube and listen to 700 and some odd sermons of Spurgeon, right? Obviously, they're not him. It's somebody else, like, dictating. But all of his sermons are printed out, and that's what's being dictated, like, in the videos. So it's super edifying. But two quotes from Spurgeon. Christians, in reference to your walk, right? Christians are not to be a lie in bed, right? Nor forever to sit still. There's an activity in religion without which it is of little worth. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the poor, teach the ignorant, comfort the miserable, but take care. When you do all this, you do it in Christ and for Christ, right? Not for ourselves. Second, that ye may walk. This is not like, you know, that I might talk about walking, that I might sit around and I might meditate, right, and enjoy myself, but that we actually walk, right? He aims at practical results. Scripture aims at practical results of our walk. Pastor Thomas used to have a famous saying, two frogs sat on a log, one decided to jump off. How many frogs still on the log? Two, right? Deciding to do something and actually doing it are two different things. All right. So this last quote, this guy, like I thought, like, well, how could I encapsulate this, right? And this is me. And although the world is watching us, right, and it is our testimony as we talked about, and the way we behave ourselves is a testimony of our faith. Let us not focus on the world as the impetus for our walk, but instead focus on the love we have for him who loved us first, or first who loved us. You can take that for what it's worth, but I feel like we measure ourselves against the world far too often instead of measuring ourselves against Christ. So that should be our focus. All right, so first, let's take a look at this word peripateo in Scripture, right? It is used over 100 times in both the Old and the New Testament. But we are not going to look, like I said before, we are not going to look at it all 100 times. So don't get up and walk out on me. It's not going to happen. We aren't concerned when we do this with the literal interpretation that says we're going to put one foot in front of the other, like I said earlier. What we are concerned with is the metaphorical usage, right, that mainly Paul, but not just Paul, that refers to the way we live, the meaning to conduct oneself's life, to order one's behavior or to behave, right? This is used extensively by Paul, but not exclusively, as I said. John uses it several times, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. It's used in Mark, actually, in reference to the Pharisees acting, say, why do you not have your disciples walk in this way? Which also gives credence to it having Old Testament foundations. It's also in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. The reason that Paul uses this word, it comes from a Hebrew word. This Hebrew word, halak, or halaku, right? And it's used in a similar fashion. It can be used as someone's walk, right? Me walking about, putting one foot in front of the other, or it can be my conduct or my behavior, right? And we see this in the Septuagint used as peripateo. So in You guys, by the way, I should preface, I'm going to go through a lot of verses tonight. I don't expect you to do Bible drills and keep up with me, right? They'll be up on the screen, all right? But Isaiah 30, 20 and 21, right? And though the Lord give you bread of adversity and water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Right? This, again, we're not talking about I'm supposed to physically walk. It's the way that I live my life. 2 Kings 23, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Again, that's 2 Kings 23. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Right? But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Right? Again, walk. We've been in Job on Sundays. I thought it was interesting that even in Job, there are a couple that don't use the word peripeteo, but they refer to this walking in the word. So Job 23:11, my foot hath held his steps, right? So has held to his commandments. His way have I kept and not declined. Job 31:7, if my step hath turned out of the way, right? And my heart walked after mine eyes. So because this metaphor was already used in the Old Testament, as like I just established, what the authors were trying to do by using it in the Old Testament was not just like subtle wordplay. They weren't trying to come up with some romance language for the word peripeteo. But when you look at it, again, using halak in the Hebrew, right, and the way it's defined there, and then using peripeteo in the Greek, what they found was a word that applied both to Jews and Gentiles, and at the time, that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to reach both, right? So, so now, like that, we've kind of set on like what it is that we're going to examine. What is it? What does it have to teach us, right? Why do we need to look at this? All right. For this, we should carefully like exegete each usage of peripeteo, including context and the lesson that it has for us. Something that we obviously don't have time for tonight, like I said earlier, right? However, what we will do is look at some examples and how they exhort us in different ways. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't raise all of my girls, all three of them, like I didn't raise them all the same. I didn't use the same language. I didn't use the same tone. I didn't like discipline them all the exact same way. I didn't talk to them like all the exact same way. And I didn't do it that way because they are different people, right? And at the heart of my mastering parenting plan, however you want to look at that, right? There were, however, three basic things that I would try to do. I would teach them, right? I tried to teach, try to give them lessons for life, right? I would encourage them or help them. And I would also, of course, discipline them. And out of those three, I swear the encouragement was their least favorite part. It was. They didn't like dad telling me, like coming up behind me and like, hey, come on, we can do this. They didn't want to do that. They just wanted to do it on their own. And I'm like, okay, fine, that's fine. Right? But, you know, to each his own. But so I have to be honest when I say I looked at all of these passages for peripeteo and I see things like warnings, as in discipline. I see negative commands. I see encouragement and exhortations, right? And then I see, like, this is how we should be doing it. I see lessons, right? So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at warnings, right? Types of instruction. And then we're also going to look at help and encouragement and where that comes from. All right? So, for me, I always want bad news up front. if you ever have like news that you're going to come give me and it's bad news and you got like multiple things, like the bad news, please. Because like I don't get anxious about many things. And after 3 deployments and more mortars than probably 3 times the amount of people sitting in this room being lobbed at me, like I don't get scared about much neither. Right. But right. For those reasons, I just assume you give me the bad news up front. All right. So when I talk about the bad news, we're going to do the warnings first. We're going to look at the warnings first. And there's another reason for this. It's because, like, in order to fix, right, what the sin that we have still holding on to in our lives, we have to see it. We have to find it, right? We have to acknowledge it before we can start fixing anything. So let's look at the warnings first, okay? And again, similar to the parenting analogy, this is, you know, the don't touch that, right? You do that, there's going to be a consequence, right? These are our warnings. Just looking at a couple of these verses, and again, don't try to keep up. I flipped the page the wrong way. No, I didn't. All right, so this Colossians 3:7, right? In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, right? This is before our salvation, right? This is us living in the world. But now ye also put off these things, right? So these are the things that we used to live in our old lives that we are supposed to put off. Put off wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Right? Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with these deeds. Right? 1 John 2:11, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, as does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Ephesians, that's not 22, it's 2:2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Look, these things, that last bullet point, these things we shouldn't be doing anymore. If we do them, right, then going back to the testimony, right, and our testimony to those who are watching us walk, right, this is the way they see us. They don't see us as Christian when we do these things, right? They don't see that. We are not showing that. Just to be clear, and this, the reason I flipped this with Ephesians, right, this prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, right? And this is how we're walking if we do these things. So again, I do all that to say, not as a, you know, you can take it as a slap on the hand or however you want to take it, right? But these passages, they are negative commands, right? They are the warnings. They don't tell us how to live. They don't tell us what we should be doing. They do the opposite. They tell us, hey, do you see yourself doing these things? Don't, right? Step away. Step away from the outlet. Don't stick your finger in it, right? This is our Heavenly Father doing that, right? Okay. All right. So, conversely, right, and secondly, there are passages that serve to teach us how we should pursue life in Christ. These passages, right, we get guidance, we get teaching, right? And God's word provides positive exhortation, right? So, these are the things that we like to hear and that we like to hold on to. All right? So things like walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I therefore, again, this is what we're learning. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. All right? These things, they teach us, other, they're not opposites like the warnings are, right? They are not negative commands, right? They are positive commands, and they show us how to live our lives. They show us to live in love. They show us how to live and wisdom, or they exhort us to live these ways, right? And we don't do that through our own strength. I don't just wake up one morning and decide, you know what? I'm going to be wise. It doesn't happen that way. Like, it can't happen that way. Even if I did do it, try to do it that way, that's relying on myself and sinful. That's not walking. It's just not, right? So, and we're going to get to our help, but we need the Holy Spirit, right? We need its help. We need its guidance. So that way we can, like the past memorization verse that we had in Romans 12:2, right? That we can transform our minds. So what comes out of our mouth, right, is the overpouring of what is written on our hearts. Okay? So in this way, this using of Scripture, this yielding to the Spirit, this understanding how my walk should look and how it should sound, helps me live the Christian life. It helps me live how I should be living. Okay? And then finally, like I said, the help and then the encouragements. Okay? So we do have help. Like I said before, you can't do it on your own. If you try to do it on your own, you're just not walking. It's not, you're standing still. Okay? So we don't walk alone. Just like parents help a newborn infant, you know, take its first steps, you walk along and you kind of like holding hands, and like, that's what you do. Right? Here, God shows us that there is help, that we have help. Right? And it's just a blessing that we have that. That we have the written word of God to show us how to use that help. All right? So, you can see there, Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Colossians 2, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. These, again, it's not telling me specifically like how I'm supposed to accomplish this. It's telling me like who's walking with me, right? And in whom do I have an example in order to walk? Okay. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for as an example. Right? 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Okay, again, Christ as our example of how we're supposed to walk. Okay, so again, if you're trying to do it on your own, by your own, in your own strength, you are not walking. Relying on the Spirit, right? Relying on the Spirit to do this to help you doesn't mean, you know, what's that song? Hands off the wheel, God take the wheel. Thank you. Yeah, it is not that. Like, that is not what we were talking about. You have an active role in this help that we're talking about. It is not all like, Jesus take the wheel, right? That's just silliness. Okay? When Pastor Caleb has said it a million times, right? But the Spirit works through the Word. If you're not in the Word, how in the world, like, it's not a mystical thing. I don't sit by myself in some dark room and the Spirit comes and whispers something in my ear. That's not the way that works. Okay? So, if that's what you're hoping for, if that's what you're waiting on, stop waiting. It just doesn't do that. Okay? So, but we need this. So spend time in the Word, right? Spend time understanding the mind of your Father and your Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, right? So that way, I understand what is expected of me, how I'm supposed to live my life, right? And when I'm making decisions, right, I will remember, the Spirit will work through His Word to remind me what direction I'm supposed to be heading, right? That's how it works. All right. So, I said all that. Sorry, I'm not doing a good job slides keeping up with what it is that I'm saying. All right. The last point. What do we do with this? Okay, I found a passage. It uses peripateo. I can see that it uses it figuratively, metaphorically, right? It's not talking about locomotion. What do I do? How do I use this? Right? Before we go any further, I should mention that what we're talking about is progressive sanctification, right? If you don't know that term, if you don't understand what progressive sanctification is, right? I put it up on the screen, but the way we grow and are continuously conformed to the image of Christ, right? This is the way that God, instead of sanctifying objects to be used in holy rituals, He's doing it to you, so that way you can be used of Him. Do we understand that? And it will take your entire life. Your entire life. You will have sin from now until the day that you pass away in glory. Like, that's just the way. So don't, anybody that's talking about, you kind of slowly progress and then you reach this other point where now we're more holy, right? And then we move forward there and then maybe we drop back down and then it does not work that way, right? You might have this incline that kind of does this number, but it is progressing. It is moving. Okay? Just like you should continue walking. All right? But about a year and some odd ago, right, we did the whole Grow series during Sunday school. If you don't remember that, it talked about this process in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 of put off, be renewed, and put on. Right? And this is the idea of using these verses, right? If I see a warning, right, obviously those are things that I'm supposed to put off. I take those things off. If I'm wearing a coat that's caught on fire, right, with the flames of, you know, the fiery pit, I'm going to take it off because I don't want it, right? Likewise, if you're holding on to sin, right, then I figure out a way, right, I recognize the sin and I want it removed from me, right? So how do I go about doing that? Well, first of all, I have to recognize it. Second of all, I have to use God's word, right, in order to tell me, right, the process for doing this, right? Why is it bad? Why do I need to get rid of it, right? Once I've renewed my mind and recognized that as a bad thing, then I can start moving that, using praying on it, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in my life to move me away from it. If I'm still holding and recognizing that that is a good thing in my life, or look, I know it's sinful, but like it still brings me, you know, some ounce of, I don't know, pick an adjective, comfort, pleasure, whatever it is, realize what the reward is in eternity, right? It's not good. Recognize those things. Allow Scripture to show you those things, right? And take them to heart. And then again, use His Word. Use Scripture, right, to shape your mind. Once I have my mind right, right, and I understand what this sin is doing to me in my life, right? What anger is doing in my life to my relationships, right, to the people that I come in contact with, between me and my Heavenly Father. Once I realize those things, then I have to do something about that, right? And that's the put on, right? I start putting on the things that counteract the thing that I don't want. So I have to put on peace. I have to put on love. I have to put on, right, in order to keep me away from anger and frustration and, you know, I don't know, just being a just ornery person, right? And because we have time, I'm gonna use an example because I wasn't sure if I was gonna have time. I was telling my mother-in-law Cindy that Friday, and I don't know what I was thinking, but Friday It was a payday weekend. It was the beginning of the month, right? And I decided that I was going to go grocery shopping at Walmart. Man, look. So, this practical application. So, anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication out of my mouth. Like, yeah. Like, I can hear this in my head. It is happening. Like, I'm racing through Walmart trying to get out of there as quickly as I can. Right? And I kept thinking in my mind that it's not their fault. Right? It's not the individual's fault. They're just shopping like I am. Right? I can't. Why am I getting upset? But I tell you, by the time I got home, I felt like I was over people. Like I didn't want a people anymore. Right? And then look at the verse in Ephesians. Right? And I had to sit and remind myself of this, that I love people. Like, I had to tell myself over and over, and not like, you know, like if you say it a million times, then maybe you'll believe it, and then it'll happen. Not in that way. I had to do it in order to counteract the other thoughts that were going on in my head, right? That said, these people don't understand how much they're in my way. Like, they just don't understand. And you know, again, like I said, half of them, it's not them. It's me being impatient and not looking at each individual as, you know, God's creation and not seeing the value or the beauty in the frailty, or not understanding the probably worth of knowledge that they have, right? Or how much they love their family and all these other things that made them a wonderful creation, right? With, you know, not to mention just the fact that they've been created in the image of Him. So it's not just, oh, well, I have no problem with anger. I don't get angry. I'm good. Right? You have moments, right? And we all have moments. And I say that like to say that we need to take time to recognize that what has happened is that even though I thought I had something written on my heart. Like, if you would have asked me on Thursday before I went to Walmart on Friday, I would have told you, man, I can't wait to tell people, like, about the love of God. I mean, that's why I'm going to seminary, right? So that way I can share the love of Christ, because people don't realize it. We're here with our family, and most of us understand it, right? We understand. And I would see parents and kids in the school system just not have, to be frank, a stinking clue. Like, they didn't have a clue about, like, how do I fix this? How do I get out of the miry clay? They had no idea. And I can't teach that in school. So it was an obstacle. And I was like, okay, well, that doesn't need to be. Bye. Right? And that's why I'm going to seminary. Anyway, to conclude, as I get ready to close, before we can start this walk of sanctification, the first thing that you need is salvation. Right? And it's one of those Spurgeonism things that, like, just listening to sermons over and over again, that every message should come back to Christ, and if it doesn't, what's the point? Like, So before you can start on this walk to sanctification, right, you need salvation. We need to know the saving grace found in Jesus Christ. Without recognizing that, without accepting that atoning sacrifice of Christ, the Son of God, right, who was at the beginning, right, with God, was God, there is no justification. None. Without justification, you can't have salvation. You can't have it. Okay? Without salvation, everything we discussed here tonight is, it doesn't apply to you. Right? Because what we said earlier, you can't walk according to yourself. You have to walk according to the Word. Right? Enabled and strengthened by the Spirit. It is impossible to accomplish this on your own. It's just not possible. Right? If that's the case, right, and I know the majority of you are my loved church family. But if there's someone out there who doesn't know this relationship that I'm talking about, right? Doesn't understand the Savior that not only loved you enough to die for you, but loved you enough to live for you, right? To intercede with the Father for you, right? That you should share in His righteousness. I encourage you, I plead with you that you come talk to Pastor Paul, that you come talk to me, that you talk to one of the deacons, that you ask them about what this relationship is, what it can be for you, right? It is a beyond beautiful thing. And to see it. I was doing really good. To see it work in your life. It's amazing. So, with that being said, right, let's pray and close. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the just wonderful, enormous amount of blessing that you've given me. That you bless this church with Pastor Caleb, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Paul. We are so thankful. They are wonderful servants of yours. Lord, may we have the desire to be the same. May each of us strive to walk closer to you. Strive to get to know who you are. To keep growing. To keep walking. To keep progressing. In the knowledge of you, in the love of you. I pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mike. We've all had our Walmart moments, and I think you'll never forget that when you think about walking in the Spirit. And I know that, this is our first time we've had an opportunity to hear Mike in this way since he started his studies at seminary. So be praying for Mike and family as well as he considers what does God want with all of this and started down a path, and we know the Lord's going to show exactly, and it can be a real blessing to our church from start to tonight. And I know you'll remember these things that you heard. Have a great day tomorrow and Friday and Saturday. Sunday we'll be here together. Pastor Caleb, Rachel will be back for Mother's Day. And mothers, ladies, have a great Mother's Tea on Sunday.